Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Glad to be with you this morning. John Kincaid here on CBS Sports Radio. A local forecaster in Atlanta told me that this huge storm that's been coming through, I said we could have gotten 2 feet of snow. He said it could have actually been worse. The amount of rain that's coming down and for like 3 or 4 days straight. He said it could have been worse. Then they would have shut down the South until like April. Would have just had to go to homeschooling at that point. Now, Matt Chatham, he's rugged. He's tough. He's got multiple rings. Probably sitting in a safe somewhere, I'm figuring. Matt, can you give away where your rings are? I'm not trying to, you know, get you robbed or anything.
I had one with me yesterday. I was in Atlanta, down your way, John, calling the FCF playoffs.
So
I actually brought it with me, yeah.
Were you down Friday night?
Yeah, I was down Friday. It was one of those 24 hours.
I would have bought you dinner, dude. I'm like.
You know what I did? And this often happens when you travel on the road calling games. I ate dinner on my lap in my hotel room while I studied depth charts.
Well, there you go. I'm sure that was good. Okay. Well, next time, if you end up in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, I'll tell you where to eat. I'll just tell you everything to do while you come to town. Because the New England Patriots, you're an analyst with Nesson, and I know that the New England Patriots tend to end up in Super Bowls. Is this year's path in the AFC looking a little more treacherous?
I don't think so. I think it looks very similar. I think we usually boil down to this time of year to a matchup or two that's problematic that they'll have to overcome. They often do. Sometimes they don't. But their path end of season, at least for themselves, just generally the part you worry about first, is relatively smooth. I mean, you're looking at division games, Miami today, Jets and Buffalo again, and it's a down year, as it often is in the AFC East, but it's a down year with those crews. And then you're facing a Pittsburgh team that has really looked much different maybe 3-4 weeks ago than they do right now. They're struggling. So their path is pretty smooth now. The Chiefs, obviously, they're flying, but what they do with their last month will be telling. I mean, obviously, after the Kareem Hunt stuff, they're going to have to reconfigure themselves a little bit. That may not bump them at all, or it may. So we will see, I guess.
You're an honest guy as an analyst. And I mean, and how much do you believe the lack of, like, I guess, success of the AFC East has helped build what the Patriots' legacy is?
I think the very best argument for if it had been, sort of the real thrust of it is if they were either at or below average outside of the division.
Correct.
And they haven't been. So I think that was really one of the things where you could have a great argument that, man, you guys just had such a smooth path here, 6 free games each year kind of thing. But one thing I try to remind people, and it's very anecdotal, and I completely get that, but I played for the Jets for a few years as well. I just know that division really well. Not that the win or loss was necessarily in question for the Patriots. They dominated in that regard. But one thing you do get that I think is a pretty big benefit to them, they, over the course of this 18-year stretch, it's been some tremendous defense. And, you get beat up a little bit. So it's kind of, I know, again, the ultimate thing I'm going to say was it easier to win or lose. But, you face my era, the Jason Taylors of the world. But then even more recently, the defensive line configurations from the Bills, the D-line, the edges guys you got, and even when you add Sue back in there with the Dolphins, the Jets, when Wilkerson and Sheldon Richardson and all those guys were still there, it was tough. And because what people think about with Brady so much about, okay, you have him, you need to advance. What's the way to go get at him, get him off the spot, get him in his lap? Three of the better groups at doing that were actually in your division. Now, they didn't have offenses that challenged them, but you did get pretty good NFL challenges. So when you get to the NFC side, you get late in the year, you've seen some of the best that they'll see, or at least something comparable.
Without brain farts 2 years ago by Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan, I would suggest that the Patriots don't get that one. And last year they didn't get it against the Eagles in a game that you and I broke down before it. And, as things come together, What about the NFC field this year? Because I think the NFC field looks much more dangerous this year.
Yeah, you know what? But it's interesting to see. I like your word brain farts because, you know, what the Saints did, now granted it was on a Thursday night, it opens your eyes to a team that can be beat a certain way if you show up and play a certain way. And I think defensively right. It was fun for me as an old defensive guy to watch the Cowboys come out there and play that way. And it kind of made you think, okay, a lot of these teams, really everyone in the field is capable of a really big step back here. The Rams are the only one that they've been beaten, knocked off in close game. I guess you should probably give the Chiefs that credit as well. They've lost to good teams closely, but the Patriots have three times this year really just dropped the ball and looked terrible, you know, looked terribly unlike themselves. So, yeah, I kind of do put the teams in that bucket. There are a couple teams here that have pretty much played everyone, either blowing them out or they lost a close one. That'd be your Chiefs and Rams. And the Saints, they just had their brain fart. And you don't know if that's indicative of what they'll be for the next month. Probably not. But knowing that that's in their back pocket, if you're facing them in an AFC playoff situation, you got a nice game plan there to see if you can work around and make your guys do it as well. So I obviously, you know, if you're wagering, if you're thinking about things like that, I'd much rather be on a team that has lost, but in close games, than a team that every fourth or fifth really looks unlike themselves.
In essence, Matt Chatham joins us here. John Kikacho, CBS Sports Radio. How would you, if you're sitting down on the couch to be entertained, what team in the NFL to you is must-see TV? You just want to be entertained. Yeah. You're not working. You're not working. You're not watching one of your old teams. You're not watching where it's good. You just want to be entertained by a football game. You're sitting down with your kids, and you want to watch a football game and be entertained.
I actually like the Saints and Patriots for the same reason that I love this idea of run first that sets up a wide open passing game, because I kind of feel like you end up getting the same thing. It's just the sequence. I like the Mark Ingram thing. I love seeing Kamara out there just torching people. They spread it out, then they run the football, or they pack it in a runner, or they dump it to either of these guys. The Patriots work a little bit that same way as well. And I guess there's a serious bias there from the linebacker thing, and that I kind of understand how much that stresses the guy that has to cover those people that are trying to figure out, am I running up in the line to get a gap here against a back who, man, I don't want to see him in space, or they spread me out and I have to cover him. I just dig that brand of football, and I like that part's being highlighted. And I think the Patriots and Saints are really the best at that. I mean, when it's seeing something that's less familiar to me, it's watching the Saints. And I just kind of like how you've got a world-class distributor in Drew. You got a team that most weeks plays pretty good defense, but they're fast and they get to the ball. And then they're not, you know, dominant by one or two personalities. It's a pretty good level group. And I love that. I just think that's what football's supposed to be all about.
Will we see the Super Bowl champions have a stake driven through their heart today by the Cowboys?
You know what? They're plucky, and that division is so down right now. It was one of those things where you're kind of looking through this late season stretch, and I think psychologically I do this every year where you kind of just write off a few teams and kind of forget that they're even out there anymore.
Right.
And Philly, from a few performances within the last 6 weeks or so, I'd done that for sure. And then you glance back and go, oh.
They're still alive.
It's a mess. They're alive. And then you start looking back. Okay, now, granted, I know people don't like this as excuses, in part because the Patriots have had it with themselves, but Philly's roster is decimated. I mean, the injuries are just a bomb in the room with those guys. And I, you know, as an analyst for this team for years, I've gone through that where it's like, you know, just too many holes in the dam. And it kind of has that feel with them, especially defensively, but in the secondary also. But, you know, you kind of go back to it. They got Carson Wentz. The receiving core is pretty strong. They still have a potential for a running game. There are injuries in the offensive line, but there's talent there. So, yeah, I kind of look like Philly is having a bad year for them, relative especially to what they did a year ago. But might not be a team you'd want to see, you know, because if they pull all together on an afternoon, there's still something there.
What's the purpose of all these extra football leagues that are popping up?
I don't know. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't think it's ever going to be to the level of being a competitive force with the NFL. I think part of it, and I'm not against this, that there are just more athletic outlets, you know, for guys that are fringe players.
Okay.
But that said, we did this interview with Coach Belichick. I think it's probably been a couple seasons now where we talked about, I believe at the time it was something to do with a change in the size of the practice squad, you know, that, wow, now that you've got, you know, four or five extra slots, or now that the roster size has slid this or that, does that change sort of your available, you know, who's going to be developed and rise up your roster. And he pointed to a stat that I can't precisely quote now, but something to the effect that, you know, they've always given him 7 or 8 or whatever it is. Now you expand it to 10 or more. And he's like, you know what, look at the guys that actually rise and stick and stay on our rosters. They usually don't fall out of the maybe the 4th or 5th guy of that group of 8 anyhow. It's not as if, you know, we fully developed in 8 and all 8 of those guys rose up our roster. And if we'd only had 2 more spots, maybe we'd have developed 10. It never really gets that far. And that the reason that matters is because when you want to have an entire league of players, then the premise is we'll develop them over there and they'll fly over to the other side. It just doesn't happen. I think you're pretty good with your core in the NFL of, you know, that are ever going to break through that 45. Yeah, there'll be great stories. There'll be a handful of guys that do it, but I don't think there's a league-wide movement that's about to happen.
Well, if it happens, I look forward to seeing you in Atlanta this time. All right, buddy?
Can't wait.
We'll talk to you next
time.
John. Thanks, Matt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.